Good morning, everyone. We're going to be back in Acts chapter 4 this morning, and we'll be finishing up this lesson on how we're looking at Peter and John and their bold stand that they took for the Lord. Again, we'll start reading in verse 13 and read down through verse 21. Again, this is Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house again. And Lord, we thank you for your word and the examples you've given us. And Lord, I just pray that you would work in our hearts as we look at your word. And Lord, help us to grow and have the courage like Peter and John did. Again, we just thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So just to do a little recap on where we've been the last couple of weeks, remember Peter and John, this is after Pentecost, and they went to the temple to pray, and there was a man there that was lame and had been lame his whole life. And they ended up healing this man in the name of Jesus. And everyone saw this. This was a man that everyone knew had been lame his whole life. And people saw this, and they came and they started asking questions. And it gave Peter and John the opportunity to share the gospel to all these people. And we see in God's word that it says 5,000 men believed during this event. Well, the religious leaders didn't like that because this was not what they were teaching. They weren't teaching Jesus. They ended up locking up Peter and John for the night. And then the next day, they brought them forward to question them. Because remember, at this point, they knew who Jesus was, but they didn't really know the disciples and who they were. And they didn't really know what they were up against at this point in history. And so they started questioning them. And throughout their questioning, they finally found out that the reason their courage, their boldness, and what they were preaching came from the fact that they had been with Jesus. And that was their conclusion. That was our conclusion, that their courage came from the fact that they had been with Jesus. And so at that point, the religious leaders started scheming, like, you know, we can't have them going around preaching Jesus. Because what had they just done, you know, a month or two earlier, is they had Jesus crucified. And that was against what they were teaching. So they started scheming and just trying to find ways to stop them from sharing the name of Jesus. And we find out that's where we got to at the end of last week. There in verse 18, it says, And when they called them and commanded them, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So they brought them there, and they told them, You have to stop preaching Jesus. And that was their command. And now Peter and John are standing there, and they have a choice to make. And that's where we're going to pick up this week. So this challenge came. They were threatened to make a choice. And they answered without hesitation. We see in verse 19 and 20, it says, But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they made it clear to those religious leaders. And I mean, they even responded to them with it, really giving them a question, making them answer in their own heart. What are you going to do? They're saying there, asking him, is it right for us to obey God or obey you? And he's made it clear to them that they've given Peter and John a choice. They're either going to have to obey God or they're going to have to obey these religious leaders. And they're making it clear there that we're going to obey God. And because they say we're going to speak the things which they have seen. And what did they see? They had seen Jesus, because they had been with Jesus. They had been with him for 3 years, and now they had seen him resurrected, and they'd been with him even more there. And they were being a witness of what they've seen. They were sharing the gospel to the people there. And what it came down to is that they feared God more than they feared men. And that's where they were able to take this bold stand at this point. They could either disobey God or they could disobey men. And we hear the fear of God mentioned throughout God's word. And it's the fear of God is not just living in dread of God. If we step out of line, God's going to strike us down. That's not what the fear of God is. The fear of God is recognizing his power and his authority in our lives. And when we think about the magnitude of that, I mean, that should instill some what we would call fear, but it's just submitting to him. And when we understand who he is and who God really is, it helps, and we reflect on ourselves, it makes us realize what we deserve, because when we see ourselves in the comparison of his holiness, and that should put a fear in our lives that we don't want to have to suffer the consequences of what we deserve. And that's punishment of hell because of sin. But we know that salvation comes from him. So in Proverbs 1:7, it tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when we expect God's power, or when we accept God's power and authority in our lives, then we're at the place where we can accept his ways, accept his teachings. When we realize who he is, it should put us in a place where what he's given us in his word is what we should be following. And that's where it says there, that's the beginning of knowledge. And those that reject that, the Bible calls them fools here. So it's very important that we get to that point where we realize who God is and we accept what he's taught us in his word. So at this point, Peter and John have made the decision. They're going to fear God more than they're going to fear men and what they are telling them to do. Just share a story here. First of all, a few years ago, we went down to San Antonio when Benjamin was graduating from basic training. And we went down there, and they had this big parade ground where they were doing the graduation for basic training. And there was hundreds of young men and women graduating from the Air Force boot camp there. And they would march around in their units, very nice, tight. I mean, everything looked, very, very organized, and everything, just went smoothly. And they would make a couple of passes, and everybody's trying to pick out, their son or daughter. And they all look the same at this point. They're all shaved heads and wearing the same clothes, but you're trying to pick them out. It was impressive to see that marching around, and that was in the Air Force there. In the Army, they're a little different. They have a reputation of maybe not being quite as easy as the Air Force. Benjamin was telling me one time when they were waiting in line for the mess hall or to eat, He did some of his training at Fort Sam Houston, which is a joint base, so there was Army recruits there too. And they were waiting in line, and they were talking, some of his people that were in the training class with him were talking, and then the Army guys were behind them with their drill instructor, and they started talking. And all of a sudden, the drill instructor just starts yelling at these Army guys, saying, if you wanted to talk in line, you should have joined the Air Force. just yelling at them. But I'm telling you all this to tell you another story. I'll read you this story. It's an example. It says, this story is told of an Army private named Jones who, during a parade, broke formation to wave at his mother in the crowd. The drill sergeant immediately reprimanded him and sternly warned him to not ever do it again. But a few minutes later, Jones waved again. At the end of the parade, the furious sergeant confronted him, shouting, "Aren't you scared of the consequences? Don't you realize what I could do to you?" Jones, with a calm demeanor, responded, "Yes, sir, but you haven't met my mother." So, the truth is, this Jones here, he feared his mother more than he feared the drill sergeant. And we see here, that's a funny example, but what we see here, though, is that Peter and John, they feared God more than they feared these men that were threatening them. So, the question is, how do we maintain that courage, that strength when we have those threats like Peter and John were facing there? So I'm going to give you a few things here on ways that we can maintain courage when we have these threats in our lives and when things get tough. First of all, like we said here, we need to fear God more than we fear men. That's not just in our words. You know, it's one thing to say that, but it's another thing is it show in our actions and what we do. So, you know, are we more worried about upsetting people, or are we more worried about disobeying God? You know, what's the most important thing to us there? You know, are we afraid what people might think about us? Are we afraid what people might say about us? Are we more concerned about what's going to happen if we don't obey God? Now, I want to take a little side note here. I understand that God makes all of us different. We're raised differently. God's built us all different. And there are some people I know that do not care what other people think of them. we see that many times in life. And that can be a good thing. That can, you know, sometimes people need to be straight with someone. When you see someone that needs help, you shouldn't be scared to say, you know, you need to change this in your life. This is something you need to work on. Or, you know, we should have that boldness to talk to people like that. But what we're not talking about here is people that just aren't afraid to say anything. How many of you have heard the phrase, heard somebody say, "I just tell it like it is"? You know, that's when somebody says that, they're proud of that. They say what they want to say. And it is good if you're saying the truth. But a lot of times when people say that, they're saying things that don't necessarily need to be said. Not everything needs to be said. And they're usually telling it to people that don't really need to hear it. So we're not talking about that kind of fear of men. What we're talking about is if we're in a decision, if we have to make a decision whether we're choosing between what God wants and what man wants, we need to make sure that we're choosing to fear God more than men. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." So here the Bible's telling us, it's making it clear that if we're fearing men, if that's driving our decision making, then that's dangerous. We need to make sure that our fear of God is greater than what men could do to us, because Satan's he's stopped a lot of people from doing what God wants them to do, or he's influenced a lot of people to stop people to doing what God wants them to do by fear, by they're worried about what people are going to say or what's going to happen to them. And we need to make sure that we are more concerned about what God wants. So, you know, the first way we can maintain that courage is to fear God more than men. Secondly, we need to be ready and expect that there's going to be threats and that there's going to be challenges. We talked a few weeks ago about Christians here in America. What have we become? We've become comfortable. And when you're comfortable, you're not expecting threats or challenges like that. You're just thinking, you know, if I just lay low, stay quiet, you know, nothing's going to happen for me to have to deal with. But the truth is, if we're living like God wants us to do, we're going to face challenges. And the Bible makes that clear. If you can, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to read a few verses there where Peter is giving a message here, letting them know that these challenges are going to come. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." So here Peter's writing to Christians, and he's telling them, don't think it's going to be odd that these fiery trials, these hard times are going to come your way. They are going to come your way. And he's warning them. He says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of God and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." See, here we see a warning or letting us know that we are going to face challenges if people see in our lives that we've been with Jesus, like Peter and John. There's challenges are going to come. Things are going to come up, and we need to be expecting them and be ready for them. Now, you know, that sounds like something we should be dreading, but that's something we really just, first of all, we need to be prepared for it. But when you read the rest of the verses, the first verse there we saw, you know, he's telling us these trials are going to come. But look at some of the phrases in the following two verses there, in verses 13 and 14. It says, "But rejoice." It says, "Be glad," down in verse 13. And also, "with exceeding joy." Verse 14, "Happy are ye." It says, "for the Spirit of glory." And then it ends with, "he is glorified." Those aren't negative words, negative connotations. Those are things that are telling us this should be encouraging when we face these trials, because we have the opportunity to go through these things for Jesus. And if we stand, and if we're courageous, just like Peter and John were, what it says there, he is glorified. And that should be our goal when we face these trials, is to glorify God through them. So here we see Peter and John are standing courageous. First of all, they feared God more than men. They were ready and expecting the threats that came their way. And they also remembered who God was, and that God is the one that's in control. Now, we need to remember that nothing ever takes God by surprise. He knows everything that is coming our way. And we know in his word that he makes all things work together for good for those of us that are serving him. Romans 8:28, we all know this verse. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So, you know, the things that happen to us, these trials that we face, we need to remember God is allowing those things into our life. You know, they're not, God's not surprised by these things. These are things that he's allowing into our life. You know, we think about Job, all the different things that he went through, but we also know that Job didn't know this at the time, but we can see it in Scripture, God was controlling. God only allowed Satan to do certain things at certain times. You know, God didn't just turn Satan loose on him completely. God allowed that in his timing. And, you know, we see other examples like Joseph. Think about all the things that he went through His brothers sold him into slavery. He was falsely accused. He was thrown in prison. But you see Joseph's life, you see how all those things worked. And in the end, God was glorified. Same thing in David's life. David did a lot of things to damage his own reputation, but God put him through a lot of things, he had to run for his life for years, but God, in the end, was glorified. Think about Paul and his ministry. He was beaten, he was stoned, he was thrown in prison, all for preaching the gospel. And in the end, God was glorified. So, these hard things happen in our lives, but we need to always remember that God's in control and he's allowing these things to happen. And they may not seem that great to us at the time. As a matter of fact, we're not going to like them a lot of times. But we need to remember that we need to honor God through these and that he's allowing this to happen so that in the end, he can be glorified. And lastly, we need to remember that these men stood because they were growing from the experiences they had. Do you remember when David had told Saul that he would go and he would stand against Goliath? You remember Saul's initial reaction was like, who are you? What can you do against this giant? But we know in 1 Samuel 17:37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." So remember that before David faced Goliath, he at some point in his life, he had faced a lion and a bear, assumingly were trying to kill his sheep, but God had strengthened him or empowered him to be able to kill those animals and protect his sheep. And so when the time came for him to face that giant, he'd already seen God working in his life. And he had that experience to draw from, even though he was very young. So, we go through hard things in our life, but those are things we should learn from, things that we should grow from. We know this saying from sports. We've all heard this. No pain, no gain. If you're going to work out, if you're just doing things easily, you're not going to have the gain. As I'm getting older, last week I had a reminder that as you get older, things get harder. Maybe you lose some of your strength because last Sunday we were there sitting at the table with some of the college kids were there, and Julie brings me that man test that we have to face every now and then. She brings a jar out of the kitchen and says, "Can you open this for me?" And here I am, and Pierce is sitting right next to me, and I'm thinking, "Oh boy, I hope I can open this, or this is going to be embarrassing." And I start to open it, and it's like, it's not budging. And I'm thinking, "Oh no, this is going to be really embarrassing if I have to have Pierce to open this jar for me." And I struggle, and finally it pops open. I even told Pierce this was going to be an example in my Sunday school lesson next week. But it's too bad he couldn't make it today. But it reminded me, I need to start working on things. I need to start working on getting stronger. And so I have this weight set in my basement that, it's been collecting a lot of dust lately. I think David used it a lot this summer, or maybe some. But, I was reading up on, the effects of weightlifting and how you should do it. And one of the things that said was you should never exercise the same muscle 2 days in a row. And the reason is because when you lift weights, and I mean not easy, but when you really stress and push your body that way, on a microfiber level, your muscle fibers tear. And what happens is they tear, and then they grow back bigger and stronger. And that's why it needs a day to heal before you go out and do those same muscles again. And really, this shows, first of all, this shows God's, just how everything in this world works together. You know, this no accident, the things on the microscopic level sometimes correspond with things we do in life. You know, God's designed this entire world, and this is just a way of showing that. But, you know, the fact that those muscles tear, but as they heal, they grow back stronger, is the same thing that happens with us when we go through these hard trials. When we go through this, you know, it hurts at the time, but when we get through it, we come back stronger. And that's where Peter and John got through this. That's how they were able to stand. First of all, they feared God more than men. They were ready for the threats. They remembered that God was in control. And they had learned through things that they had gone through there. So there they were facing the council there, and they stood courageously because they feared God. And what was it that this council was trying to get them to stop doing? They were trying to get them to stop speaking about Jesus. But they were able to continue, and they would go on, and they would share the gospel over and over again because of the courage that they had. And the reason that they were able to do this, you know, they didn't stop preaching because these religious leaders told them to. They went on and they continued to preach. And two ways that they were able to do that, first of all, was because they were compelled by the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit in them. If we're yielded to Him, He's going to direct our speech. He's going to help us to share the gospel, to witness. And we need His Spirit to do that. You know, in John 15:26, Jesus told them that. He says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." We saw back in Acts 4, verse 8, we saw as Peter and John came to speak to these leaders, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them." So we know that when Peter came to these leaders, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. God's Holy Spirit was controlling what they were saying. They weren't being coerced. That was, you know, when God's Holy Spirit, when it helps us, it's not like standing behind us saying, "You go ahead and you witness." No, He's there. We're allowing His Spirit to fill us. He is coming out in our speech, in our lives. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're counting on that just like they were. They were filled with God's Spirit and were able to speak boldly because of that. And, you know, sometimes we need those trials in our life to remind us that we do need God's Spirit. Because, you know, sometimes we get, kind of cocky and think, "Oh, we can do this on our own." But no, we need God's Spirit to be able to get through these tough times. And the second way they were able to be able to speak out is they were being obedient. Peter and John had been given a command from Jesus. And you know, we know it as the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20 say, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. So they were able to do this. They were able to keep speaking because they were being obedient to Jesus. They were obeying what Jesus had told them. We've heard the verse in John 14:15. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And they were showing their love for Jesus by keeping that commandment of preaching, even though they were facing this challenge of being told not to do that. So they were threatened and to stop preaching. You know, these Sanhedrin, they came and they said, "Stop preaching." But what did Jesus tell them to do? Jesus had told them to preach. So they had to make a choice. So there, the first part of that verse that we read in Matthew 28 talks about saying, "All power is given unto me, and in heaven and in earth." That all power, the power there means authority. And that verse says that Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth. And the authority there, he's putting his authority at the very top. There is no one that has more authority than Jesus. He is at the very top. He is the one that we need to listen to, we need to obey. Now, Sunday, we just heard a good message about being obedient to those that God has put in authority to us. But what we're talking about today is when we have to make a choice. Last week in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme." So, in our daily lives, we are supposed to submit to authority. We learned that in last Sunday morning's message. But when it comes to the time where we have to make a choice, where there is a contradiction, where man says one thing and God says to do something else, that's when we need to choose to obey God. God tells us in his word, to live, if at all possible, to live peaceably with all men. So we're supposed to do our best to follow those rules and those laws that he's put over us. But if it ever comes to the point where there's a contradiction there, where we have to make a decision, Jesus' authority is the ultimate authority. We need to remember that. So here, as we conclude, there we see in Acts 4:21, it says, "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done." So how does this end? Peter and John stood courageously, and the result of that was that God was glorified. It tells us there that all men glorified God. And when these religious leaders saw that, they saw these people glorifying God, what are they supposed to do? Tell them, stop glorifying God. They could do nothing because Peter and John there had been obedient to the Lord, and God had carried them through this. So, God is glorified when we do the same thing. When we stand for God, he is glorified there in the end. And we see there it starts with our courage. Where did it come from? It came from being with Jesus. So how can we be with Jesus? That's what we need to make sure that we understand. First of all, it's through salvation. We have to be saved. If we're going to be with Jesus, the first step is salvation. We can't truly know him unless we're part of his family. John 3:7 says, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." There has to be a time in your life when you realize that you are a sinner, and that your only hope of salvation is to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again for you. And we need to make sure that we've all come to that point in our lives. So to be with Jesus, first of all, we have to be saved. Secondly, is we have to be in God's word. The Bible is the only perfect, infallible information that we have about Jesus. But it's not just facts. It's how God talks to us through his word. And, it's called the living word. And he speaks to us through it. And we need to make sure that we are spending as much time as we possibly can in his word. John 5:39 says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." If we're going to be close to God, if we're going to know Jesus, if people are going to think, you've been with Jesus, then we've got to be in God's word. And thirdly, we need to be fellowshipping with him, abiding in Christ. And that doesn't mean that we just come to church on Sunday morning. It has to be more than that. And it's not even just, a few minutes each morning reading God's word. It's knowing that he's part of our life every day, every minute, that he's always there with us. And, we're always dependent on his power and his guidance and his leading. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So when we get to that point, if we're spending time in God's word, then we can have the same mind as Christ. We can have the same wants, the same desires that he does. You know, it also means if we're living with him, we're going to be keeping our lives as pure as possible. James 4:7-8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So, you know, this verse tells us, you know, we can be as close to God as we want to. It says, if we draw to him, he's going to draw to us. But it also points out that we need to keep sin out of our lives. We need to make sure that those things that would put up a wall between us and the Lord are not there. We need to make sure we confess our sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from, to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's something we should make sure that we don't put up those barriers that keep us from having that close fellowship. And lastly, if people are going to see that we've been with Jesus, we're going to have to spend time in prayer and talking to him every day, all day long. You know, the Bible tells us, pray without ceasing. In 1 Peter 3:12, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. One phrase in this verse to me makes me realize what a privilege we have. It says here, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Talking about the righteous there. You realize what a privilege it is that God hears us? Think about who he is. And he wants to know, and he wants to hear from every single one of us. And what a privilege that is. So there, as we look back and we see John and Peter standing with courage there, we need to remember that everything they have, we have today as well. We have that same Holy Spirit. We can have that source of courage. Yes, they were there with Jesus physically, but we can be with Jesus too. Through what we just described there, through his word, through just living in his presence, and just spending time in prayer, being as close to him as we can. We can have that just like they did. And, you know, when we do that, troubles are going to come, but we need to be able to stand like they did and get to the point where we fear God more than we fear men. And we think, you know, what an example Peter and John were here. And this was one of the easier things that they had to go through when you think about all the things they faced as apostles. But you also think back a few months before this, where was Peter? Jesus had just been arrested. And what did Peter do when they came and they challenged him? He had denied Christ. He even started acting like those that were around him. He started using foul language. What changed in his life? First of all, we know he spent more time with Jesus after that, after the resurrection. Another important thing is now he had the Holy Spirit. But I think we also learned from the different trials that he faced. So when he got to this point, he was able to stand and stand courageously. And I hope that each and every one of us would do that. If we're faithful to Jesus and we're living a life that honors him, we're going to face challenges. It may not be standing before a religious council, but you know, it may be someone yelling at us for our beliefs, or you know, getting in our face, or you know, maybe a lawsuit. Who knows where that may be? But when that time comes, we need to be able to stand, and hopefully people will look at us and say that you've been with Jesus. So hope this has been an encouragement, and just hope that we can all stand strong, just like the example of Peter and John. Lord, we thank you for the time you've given us this morning, and Lord, just what a blessing it is to see examples of others standing strong for you. And I pray, Lord, that we would follow these examples and do our best to be as close to you as possible. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.